Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Sexton Blog Talk Radio Show on every evening of the week, either 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, or 10 or 11. Also, weekdays and weekends. And I'm going to talk about today, before I get into it, the issue of why people are awarded prizes. Or better yet, who should or does get some sort of prize in our society. I think it's a controversial topic, and I think it'll be interesting to hear what I have to say, what you might respond to what I have to say. Let me start off by saying that this show focuses on literature. I love great literature. I love great books, whether John Milton's Paradise Lost, or E.M. Forster, Passage to India, T.S. Eliot, or John Bunyan, or St. Augustine, or the Epistles of Paul, or whatever. I love great writing and literature, and this is an aspect of this show. Second thing is, it's a theological show. I'm very committed to the Christian faith entirely, 100%, and I believe in the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and in the creeds of the Church, Nicene, Athanasian, and Apostles' Creed. And finally, I do have a political stance, somewhat conservative, but I'm very concerned with the poor and underclass people. That is the command of Christ, to be concerned with the poor, and I follow his commands, not seeking political glory, not seeking political power, but trying to understand the message of Christ and his thinking. What he has to say about things. He said, many things, the poor were blessed. The poor in spirit were blessed. Meaning, now, he doesn't want people poor, ladies and gentlemen, but he meant to say that he wants the poor to be rewarded in the next life for their suffering in this. So he said to him, who is this man that associates with publicans and sinners? They couldn't understand him. Associated with lower class people, essentially. And also they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Meaning, can anything good come out of that hick town? Those are just some of the comments said of Christ. He himself was born poor, was poor, and lived a life of poverty. I think that's quite clear. And he chose his disciples, not particularly wealthy or great people, but disciples were fishermen and tradesmen and a tax collector. But let me get into this. I'm going to go into now my personal views of things as reflected in this show. I am not interested in political rhetoric, media lies and media falsehoods. I'm not interested in media lies, media falsehoods, or the big lie. I'm interested in honest discernment and intellectual honesty and getting at the facts and getting at the truth. That is what interests me. That is what stirs me. That is my goal. And our dear young people, let's dear young people, make your goal getting at the facts and getting at the truth and not listening to political rhetoric, being convinced by the lies of the political left or right. Next, the show is a Christian show, as I said, and I welcome all faiths because Jesus welcomed all people and died for all mankind. Every person that has ever lived from beginning to end. And he loves everyone. And I see the face of Christ's love in an Islamic person, in a Hindu, in a Shintoist, or whoever they are. I see them in the love. I see the love of Jesus reflecting in their countenance. And I know that Jesus loves and died for every single person in any religion in the world and rejects no religious path. I'm a Christian, but I wish to dialogue and understand all faiths and all persons that I encounter, 100%. Now, I want to tell you that I run these radio shows, as I said, and they are Christian radio shows. And I also write books, and these books are Christian books and legal books. I've written 10 books. I'm writing more. The books are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book of the parables. I love the parables. The parables are the words and mind of Christ and God the Father. They are well worth your sustained attention and reading them many, many times. I can't tire of the parables because the Jesus' words and mind is so deep and so profound. I must read them 100 times before I can fully grasp their import. I've also written a book recently on the Psalms, my interpretation of 150 Psalms. I read the Psalms in Hebrew in seminary. They're great lyric poetry. They're wonderful lyric poetry. They're beautiful. And John Donne, the great English poet, said of the Psalms that they were the manna of the church. He saw their greatness, their literary greatness, and their spiritual greatness. The Psalms are literary treasures, and they are spiritual treasures. When I read the Psalms, I am raised up immeasurably in my thinking and in my mind, which is the purpose of any great book. As Mortimer Adler said in How to Read a Book, he said, a good book, a great book, raises you up and stretches your mind, which is what the Psalms do if you read them. Of course, as I say, we've reached a point in our society where people don't read these sort of books, and it's tragic and bad, and they are losing out immeasurably in their thinking. To not read the Psalms and not read the parables is to lack thought, is to be cheated of thought and intellect. I'm writing other books too. I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written one chapter. I'm writing a book of four books of blogs, of the blogs that I've written, political, philosophical, theological, and current events. These are four books of blogs that I've written, and they're coming out soon. I've written I'm writing a book on the book of Job. Job is a wonderful book. He was an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish, but he made it into the Hebrew canon. And and as I said, that's another example of the book of Job stretches and raises your mind and consciousness beyond what you could believe. That's what great books do. That's what great words do. That's what great thoughts do. They raise you up and take you from the ground and throw you into the sky and take you from the ground where you are suffering in ignorance and darkness. Without great books, you are moving into a kingdom of ignorance and darkness. It's bad. If you want your children to have what they deserve, you will go to the library with them, pick out books like I just described, the Bible, St. Augustine, John Bunyan, T.S. Eliot. You'll pick out books and work with them on those books, because those books are the books that will stretch and move that child's mind immeasurably. Without books, our minds remain undeveloped, and we are left in sort of a stasis of ignorance and darkness. I've talked about writing a book on the Psalms, and I've written other books, a book called Res Gestae on Bender's Consolidated Evidence, a chapter in evidence in that book. I've written a chapter in New York Jurisprudence on Criminal Law, Demands and Notices. New York Jurisprudence is a legal encyclopedia. I wrote a chapter in that. I also have written a chapter on paternity in New York Family Law and Practice, published by the West Publishing Company, a major publisher, and edited by Merrill Sobey, a professor in Pace Law College. Now, I think you should know, as I wind up this little introductory thing about myself, I've written three major law review articles, two academicus in the Albanian scientific journal Academicus. I've also written an article in the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure. The Syracuse Law Review has been bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. And my Academicus article on the United States educational system and on sexual orientation discrimination have also been brought by many universities all over the world, and most notably by the State Department. My article in the Syracuse Law Review has also been bought by many, many universities throughout the world. I'm pleased to say that people are reading my work. I'm happy about it. Everybody's busy. And certainly my work is no more meritorious than anyone else, but I'm glad people are reading it and that they're absorbing it, what I may have to offer in these articles and books. Now, what I'm going to talk about tonight is a very tricky and controversial topic. The topic is who gets the prize. Let me get into this a bit. In the past few years, I say this, two significant government and political figures have received the Nobel Peace Prize. They are President Barack Obama and former Vice President Al Gore. And who am I to question the judgment of the Nobel Committee or the entitlement or worthiness of these individuals to have been given and to have accepted these great honors? One may wonder, however, with 6 billion people on the planet, 9 billion people, I have to question why political figures, less prominent political figures, would be considered for this honor. I question whether political figures should be given this honor because of their prominence. One may wonder, with 6 billion people on the planet, why not less prominent political figures be considered for this honor? Figures who might be equally or possibly more worthy, but lack power and wealth. What's the issue? I'm not questioning the judgment of the Nobel Committee or the entitlement or worthiness of President Barack Obama or Al Gore, the Vice President, these individuals to have given and accepted this great honor. But we can wonder, with 6 billion people on the planet, why not less prominent political figures be considered for this honor? Figures who might be equally or possibly more worthy, but lack power and wealth, lack political strength. One would wonder why those people don't get the prize. I have another comment to make about this. As I say, one would wonder why less prominent people might not be considered for this honor, people who would be equally or possibly more worthy of this honor, but lack power and wealth of the president and vice president. I'm not saying that's the reason they got the prize, but there are many people who might be more worthy, but lack power and wealth. I have another comment to make. The other day I read in the New York Times a very short story that 10 committed Christians from the United States who had gone to Afghanistan to provide free medical care to those persons in poverty had been murdered. The secular press gave little notice to this event. And in fact, no one I know had much to say about it. These individuals went to Afghanistan, motivated by the eternal love and mercy of Jesus Christ, and his great concern, and particular concern, for the poverty-stricken in this world. They went there to carry out his mission, to alleviate poverty, and with respect to these deeply deprived persons in Afghanistan. Yet they were murdered. And I read in the New York Times that 10 Christians who went to Afghanistan to provide free medical care, persons in poverty had been murdered. And the secular press gave little or no notice to this event. And in fact, no one I know had much to say about it. These individuals went to Afghanistan, motivated by the eternal love and mercy of Jesus Christ, and his particular concern, as I mentioned to you, for the poverty-stricken in this world, to carry out his mission to those deeply deprived persons in Afghanistan. They came for what many people would look down on in certain sections of society. They came from fundamentalist churches, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches. Many people would look down on those people who were coming from that sector of society, fundamentalist churches in the country. They gave up their lives in sacrifice and love to others. They gave up their lives and were murdered in Afghanistan, bringing love and help to people in poverty. And they gave up their lives to sacrifice and love to others. They passed unrecognized and gained no prize or honor. I think it's noteworthy. They were unrecognized. Nobody paid any attention to them, their life or their death. And they got no prize or honor. But they certainly would have been should have obtained. The entire world failed to recognize their supreme sacrifice, which they did by reason of their deeply held faith that God gave his only begotten Son to die for all men and women, not because of their worth, but because of his love for all humanity, regardless of sex, race, and economic status. They passed. They gave up their lives in sacrifice and love to others in poverty. They passed unrecognized and gained no prize, like President Obama or Vice President Gore. They got no prize or honor, no honor for their great sacrifice. The entire world failed to recognize their supreme sacrifice of giving up their lives for people in poverty, which they did by reason of their deeply held faith that God gave his only begotten Son to die for all men and women, not because of their worth, but because of his love for all humanity, regardless of sex, race, and economic status. So that's the situation. The media and the world in general, I think it's noteworthy, had little to say about this event. Had a great deal to say about President Obama and Vice President Gore. They had a great deal to say about these politicians with a degree of wealth and power, and it would appear recognizes them and confers upon them prizes, but gave no prize to these Christian people that gave up their lives in love for others. They gained no prize. I'm not saying President Obama didn't deserve the prize, the Nobel Prize, or Vice President Gore, but the world had little to say about this particular event, these people that were murdered and gave up their lives for the love of poverty-stricken people. And in fact, the world seems to have a great deal to say and to honor politicians with a degree of wealth and power, and it would appear recognizes them and confers upon them prizes. So the world recognizes politicians with wealth and power and recognizes them and confers upon them prizes, but no prize was given to these Christian people who gave up their lives to the poverty-stricken in the love of Christ. Let me say something else here. The Salvation Army, a Protestant sect, for over 100 years has gone into the most economically deprived areas in the cities in the world and given help and aid to the poorest of the poor. The Salvation Army gives this aid, has done so for 100 years, has gone into the most economically deprived areas of the cities and given help and aid to the poorest of the poor. They continue to do it. And again, the secular press, the New York Times, the great New York Times, the secular press and the media, CNN, have nothing to say about the Salvation Army's profound commitment to the love of Christ for all humanity. CNN and the New York Times has nothing to say about the Salvation Army and their sacrifice to give love and concern for the poorest of the poor in the ghettos of the cities of the United States, where they give help to the poorest of the poor. They continue to do it. Yet the secular press, just like it, and CNN, the New York Times and CNN, as I said, had nothing to say about these people in Afghanistan that were murdered and lost their lives, seeking to give love and help to these very poor people in Afghanistan. And they have nothing to say about the sacrifice of the Salvation Army to the love of Christ for all humanity. The media seems to have a lot to say about prominent political figures, rock stars, people with material status in our society. The media have a lot to say about prominent political figures and rock stars and people with money in our society. it has little to say of those Christians presently in their graves in Afghanistan, and has nothing to say at all about the Salvation Army and its work for the poorest of the poor in the slums of the world. Again, the CNN and New York Times has little to say about the Salvation Army, little or nothing to say about these murdered fundamentalist Christians who are bringing love and seeking to alleviate the poverty of the poorest of the poor in Afghanistan. The media and press in the United States, in the West, both North America and Europe, have little or nothing to say about the people I just described. They could be the people in Afghanistan who gave up their lives and were killed. And they have nothing to say. The media and the press, both in North America and Europe, and possibly in Asia and Africa, have nothing to say about the Salvation Army. There seems to be a little problem here, discontinuity or disfigurement in our social and political fabric, that only politicians and those with power and money get the prize and are recognized. And those Christians who commit their lives to the most deprived of the world are left unmentioned. The world, the press, and the media have nothing to say of their work and their deaths. Who should get the prize? I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, who do you think should get the prize? The Salvation Army or those dead people, those dead Christians in Afghanistan? Who should get the prize? And you can also ask where true greatness lies. Does it lie in political power and money, or does it lie in the supreme sacrifice of love to help other people? Who should get the prize, and where does true greatness lie? I'm going to talk about this again tomorrow night and go over this. I think it's worth thinking about. And you should take a look at my chapter 4 of my book, Essays in Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy, entitled chapter 4, entitled Who Gets the Prize? Who do I think should get the prize? I don't think President Obama should get it, or Vice President Gore. But I suggest the Salvation Army, which goes into the slums of every country in the world, giving their love and help to people in the name of Christ. And I say to you that the Christians in Afghanistan who were murdered, they went there exhibiting the love and mercy of Christ. And they died and were killed. I ask you, who should get the prize? Who should get recognized? And I can also ask you, who are truly or not great? I have my doubts that President Obama and Vice President Gore are particularly great, but I think the Salvation Army and those dead people in Afghanistan are far, far greater than anybody you might think of in the world. Poor, wonderful, making the sacrifice of love to other people and to many people. I hope you've enjoyed this talk, and I hope you found agreement with it, and it has provided you with food for thought. Thank you.